Pray with me. So send your Spirit among us. Engage us with the power and joy of the resurrection, that in our lives and in our music, we may offer you the thanksgiving and praise which is yours alone. Stir in our minds this day new understandings and inspire us always in your work and will. And we seek these things because of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who is among us, present and new. Amen. These past weeks, we've been focused on the resurrection power, the gifts of freedom that we enjoy as Christian believers, the hope that our chains are gone, and the new life that we have been invited to live so abundantly is among us. And this morning, we continue into those moments, understanding the power of new life that's given through resurrection hope. Now, some of you might recognize this. This is peach lemonade. Nope. It's no longer in there. What once was in there is gone. I enjoyed it. I could put water back into it, but it's not going to be peach lemonade again. It will continue to just be something recycled. It will never be new again. And I wonder whether or not that's sort of the faith that you and I have been living. A recycled faith. Instead of that new life in Christ, that difference that you and I no longer are the same, but born anew, being born into Christ Jesus, being empowered by the hope that is ours in the faith that is established, not of recycled faith, but of new life in Christ. Our life in Christ is new, not recycled. For you and me, maybe it's easier to live a recycled faith. I have to confess to you that most of my Christian walk in life, I tend to fall into the trap of just recycling who I am instead of being new in Christ Jesus. I know the old habits and old behaviors and the sins of the past. And even though I can sort of try and let them go, I normally let them carry along with me. Sometimes when I see you and others, and if we've had hardship together, I would rather see those hardships than the new life that's been established in Christ Jesus. The power of resurrection hope is that you and I would not be recycled Christians, but new Christians, each and every day. Paul said to the Corinthians in the second letter, "So if there is any in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old is passed away. See, everything new has become." You and I so often fall into the human trap, much like the Christians of Corinth. It's far easier to just recycle our faith than live it new every day. To be engaged by the power of the Spirit that sees the old things past and the new has come. To be as a people extending that newness to one another and to the freshness of the gospel. Paul would use this phrase, new creation, only one other time in the New Testament. Even though he is prolific in his writings, This concept of new creation is set apart both for the church at Corinth and for a group of believers, potentially his earliest letter, the letter to the Galatians. In chapters 5 and in chapter 6, we come across this new life, this new creation order. For he says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcised nor uncircumcised means anything, but faith working through love does. It's this new creation hope Paul poignantly begs us to. Oh, he speaks of this mystery of the gospel elsewhere, but using the words new creation, he distinguishes them both for the church at Galatia and also for the church in Corinth. That community at Corinth is likely a church that was more affluent than any of the other congregations that the apostle would minister with and to. It would often be a trap for them that they would use their goods and their affluence to think somehow they got something new and thus offered others newness through the things they had instead of the faith which is ours in Christ Jesus. Once you had a clergy colleague that used to love to come to cluster meeting, and every now and then he'd show up boasting, "Look, I got another suit." The bad news was most of us recognized for him he was rejoicing because one of his members of his congregation that was his same size had passed away. And the widow had called him to give him that new suit. It was new to him, he thought. Yet for you and me, is that the nature of the faith we extend to one another? Simply something that's been recycled? Or do you really know the difference of something that's new, that's crisp, that's fresh, that without it has no blemish and no damage, that for you and me, all too often, we as a church become so familiar with one another and our walk and our gifts of faith that we fail to see one another in this newness each and every day? It's far easier for me to look in the mirror and see the man I knew yesterday instead of that new creation that is in Christ Jesus. It's far easier for me often to see the community in which I'm called to live and minister as something I'm simply trying to recycle than to embrace as new. You and I are called to this new life in Christ. This newness that beckons for us isn't an opportunity out of which we take something and repurpose it or redirect it. When have you extended an invitation to a friend and they said, "No, thank you, I really don't want to come to church"? Maybe you gave them that invitation in 1954. But we need to see them as new today. Maybe you extended it to them in 1956, and again, they said, "No, thank you." You and I all too easily are called into that trap of being so familiar with one another, we think we cannot even change. Is that how you look at one another in the faith? Or do you see one another each and every time we meet as new creations? The power of the gospel raised in us, no longer trapping us for who we've been, but making us who Christ calls us to be. Wouldn't we want to be a church of new creation, not recycled creation? Wouldn't we want to be extending steadfast hope to us as well as to those we meet? That this power of the risen Christ isn't merely a resuscitation of the old, it is a brand new creation. That's why Paul pleads for us that we who are in Christ Jesus, if anyone, he says, That's not just a select few. That's each and every one that lays the claim of Jesus Christ. We won't be the first to wrestle with what it means to be born into Christ Jesus. In John chapter 3, you'll remember the very familiar conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus late at night. This gentleman who knew the depths of Scripture and the study of the law had come to Jesus and said, "What do you mean about new life, being born again? It's impossible for us to go back into our mother's womb. It's impossible for us to make this old and tired being into something new." And yet Jesus continues to plea for Nicodemus and for you and me that we'd be born again, that we'd be made absolutely beautifully perfect and new as only Christ can make us. This is for our hope and the power of the gospel, the opportunity that you and I have to live as new creations. Wouldn't it be exciting to be a church out of which you and I are always seeing the power of new life springing forth? Wouldn't it be amazing to be a people that in the gospel we extend to others? We're not extending to them this recycle, retread, reused idea, but that we're seeing one another as absolutely new. The apostle begs that you and I might see it far beyond the vessels of this life, which often clouded the understanding of the Corinthians. They're the church, by the way, that often because of their affluence had servants at home that were working for them. And when they got to church, they decided to eat and have the great fellowship. And when their servants got there, they got the leftovers. That was the church that Paul said, "Hey, by the way, when you gather together, wait for one another. You make sure that everybody is equally coming to the table. Not those who don't have, don't see them any different than those who have. Because all of us are as desperate to have that gift of grace from the table of Jesus and are equally given it. Not because of our position or our station, but because of the power of the gospel that's in us. This new life, being born again, is what the apostle called to us again to be and to become. No longer trapped in what once was, or even the limitations of our understandings. For you and I are to be new creations." In Romans 6:4, Paul pleads with us to walk in the newness of life. And that beautiful description comes to a great completion as you get to the 8th chapter of Romans, where he's acknowledging that all of us are redeemed out of that steadfast faith of Christ, and that nothing will be able to separate us, not death nor life. Nothing will be able to hold us apart from this redemptive power of God, this faith in Christ Jesus, this right relationship that's offered to us is faith working in and through us. 1 John tells us what that looks like. It looks like that sacrificial love of Jesus. It doesn't suggest that we do this so that we can then make others like us. We offer this because we've been made like Christ, new and whole and righteous before God. This power of the gospel expresses itself so beautifully in sacrificial love. That's why 1 John says, "As we've been loved, so we must love others." Do you offer that new creative power? Or are you still looking at one another as recycled? You and I have a new hope. It isn't that we can change, but that we have been changed. It isn't that we have the ability one day to just wake up and remake ourselves into a new person. but that by the redemptive power of Jesus, we're given a fresh start, a new beginning. We're called to extend that to others, that they too might have that same kind of hope, that same kind of life, that same kind of urgency to draw closer to God in righteous faith. As we close this morning's worship service and we sing the final hymn, it asks if love is born among us. You and I might think it's just spring again, like every other spring that we've seen in the seasons of our lives. Or will this be a new beginning, a new start, one that the Heavenly Father has extended to us only because of the redemptive power of Jesus, who no longer is found in the tomb, but lives among us, no longer simply lets us be who we once were, but now invites us to be who He has made us to be. In chapter 8, Paul uses, I think, the most brilliant image. He talks about the birth of our faith as a child being born. You might be able to take video of a birth and relive it simply by watching the clip. You might be able to take still snapshots of that first breath of life and that call out. But that one moment, so distinct and so precious, so new, is what's being afforded to us each and every day in this resurrection power. This new life that is for us is only because Christ has made this day and given us new life, new hope, and new power, because His love gave it all. Amen.